Well, I'm going to throw a curveball at you this morning. I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 1. I am not going to preach from John 7 this morning for several reasons. Namely, I just have been struggling to understand what's going on in part of that text, and I did not feel comfortable to preach it. So Luke chapter 1, I want to talk with us this morning about the virgin birth and why the virgin birth. But Luke 1, I'm going to be reading verses 26 through 38. So if you are able to stand, let's hear our Lord speak to us from his word. Luke 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, that would have been of Elizabeth's pregnancy with John. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the word of God. You may be seated. Well, for these next few minutes, I want to speak to you on the why of the virgin birth. Now, for some of you, this may be Christianity 101, Christmas 101. Some of you may have not ever thought about this, or you've forgotten. And so why the virgin birth? And I want to start with what our own statement of faith here at Pueblo West Baptist Church says. We believe that Jesus is the eternal, beloved Son of God, who became a man without ceasing to be God. Conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, God the Father sent his Son, making him both Lord and Christ. There's more to the statement on Christ and the Son, but that is what I wanted to emphasize. We believe that Jesus is the eternal, beloved Son of God who became a man without ceasing to be God. That's what we believe. So if you're a Sunday school teacher here, that's what you'll be teaching here, right? That's what we teach. The man on the video from Sweden talked about how so many of the Baptist churches there in Sweden have joined themselves with United Methodists and become liberal. Well, one of the ways that people become liberal is they still talk about Jesus. They still talk about God. They'll even use the concept of salvation. But they reject the virgin conception. They reject the deity that Jesus is God in the flesh. They reject that. And subsequently, they actually have a different religion. Even though we talk about liberal Christianity, it's actually a completely different belief system. All right? So people are remembered for unusual circumstances or actions they did or abilities peculiar to them. People are remembered for unusual circumstances or actions they performed or did or abilities performed to them. I was just reading here recently of a man who's now in the Guinness Book of World Records for running the most consecutive marathons. And I've forgotten the number, but it's in the hundreds. Daily, he would run 26.2 miles in a row. He's going to be remembered as the man who set that record for a season, right? People are remembered for unusual circumstances or actions or abilities peculiar to them. How about the first man in space? On May 5, 1961, Alan Shepard made it into space and back 23 days after Russian cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin became the first human to do so. But less than a year later, John Glenn became the first American to orbit the Earth. The biblical record of the conception of Jesus, here's what I'm contrasting with all those kinds of things. Folks, the biblical record of the conception of Jesus is not a story of a first. All right? It's not a story of the first person ever to be conceived of the Holy Spirit. Dear people, it is the story of the only person to ever be conceived in that manner. The only one ever to have been conceived of the Holy Spirit in the womb of a virgin is Jesus. It had never occurred before, and it will never occur again. So what I want to try and do this morning is address the why of the virgin birth. According to the biblical record, Mary experienced, sorry ladies, sorry moms, sorry men, Mary experienced a normal birth. Mary experienced a normal delivery. What she did not have was any physical union with a man or insemination of the sperm of a man that brought forth the conception of Jesus. Do you hear the difference? We talk about the virgin birth, and we should. That's fine. But folks, Mary had a normal birth. What she didn't have was a normal conception. All right? So first of all, very quickly, the biblical record, and it is recorded in Matthew and Luke. We have four what we call Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they all, to some degree, record the life of Jesus. But it is only Matthew and Luke that say anything about his birth. And we just read Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. If you still have your Bibles open, if you see there in verse 27 and verse 34, the English word virgin. And it comes from a Greek word meaning a woman, referring to a woman who's never had sexual relations, a female, a virgin beyond puberty, but not yet married. That's the way that word was used. In verse 34, Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" It's literally, I've never known a man. A man has never known me. That's the language she used. Both Matthew and Luke want us to believe Mary had never been with a man. Both Matthew and Luke give credit to the Holy Spirit for the conception. Over in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, Matthew writes, "For the child who has been conceived or begotten in her, in Mary, is of the Holy Spirit." Here in Luke 1, verse 35, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you," or literally, or I shouldn't say literally, but that is, enable you to conceive and bear forth a child. So that is the biblical record. Second of all, the how of the birth of Jesus is utterly unique. Is utterly unique. By the way, just to cause you to think about some implications and applications for your life, again, to reference the video of the secularization of Sweden, that's happening here in the United States as well. All right? And so secularism, or the secularization of the United States, is not first outright, blatantly, we deny there is a God, though many do, secularists do. Folks, what they deny is that this book and this record of the God of the Bible has no implications for our lives or for how we run our lives, all right? And run our civilization. It has no implications for us. So if you, personally, you want to believe that, fine, but it has nothing to do with the greater society around you. One more comment. Folks, the world around us is fine for us 25 people to be here this morning singing songs, hearing a preacher preach on, and sitting in a class drinking coffee and studying the Bible. The world's fine with that. The world's fine with that. But what has the risen, ascended Christ commissioned his believers to do? Go and what? Make disciples of all peoples, of all the nations. The problem isn't that us gathering here on a Sunday morning is upsetting the world. That's not upsetting the world. The problem is when we go and speak forth the truth of Christ with authority to the world around us. That's the problem. Why? Because secularism says that has nothing to do with us. If you want a private belief in a Jesus who was born of a virgin, fine. But it has nothing to do with society. It has nothing to do with education. It has nothing to do with what other people do sexually. It has nothing to do with how we are governed. It has nothing to do with how we are entertained. That's secularism. You and I believe for the secular world around us, and by the way, this is very fresh in my mind because Dawn and I spent an evening this past week with two unbelieving people, secularists. All right? This is real fresh in my mind because I tried to bring up the gospel. Okay? You and I, according to the secularists, are at best weird. At best weird. Why? Because we believe 2,000 years ago, a divine being who is spirit somehow miraculously enabled a woman who had never been with a man to conceive a child, and 9 months later, a baby boy was born. We really do believe that. If you're a Christian, you actually do believe that. If you don't believe that, just be honest and don't call yourself a Christian. All right? Just be honest and say, no, I don't believe it. I like some of the teachings of Jesus. I like the hymns. I really like some of the traditions and the artwork of the history of Christianity, but no, I don't believe in the then fine, but don't call yourself a Christian. Because at the root of Christianity is the virginal conception of Jesus. It was a supernatural event. So, that's off my notes. The how of the birth, the conception of Jesus, was not witnessed. We have eyewitnesses to his life. We have eyewitnesses to his death. We have eyewitnesses to his burial and his resurrection. But there was no way Mary could say, these people were there at the event. No, she couldn't do that. The virgin conception was not the beginning of the Son of God. This is another strange thing we believe. As Dawn and I were having dinner with this couple, we kept on using biblical terminology, and I kept on really realizing how foreign to talk about the Son of God. How foreign this must sound to the secularist. The Son of God, we do not believe that Jesus became God. Do you hear that? We don't believe that. No, we believe the second person of the Trinity, the Son, took on human flesh. The Son of God was not, the virginal conception was not the beginning of the Son of God. Rather, the Son of God was eternally preexistent. You said it, we said it together in our call to worship this morning. In the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That Word became flesh. This is what we believe. So the Son of God was eternally preexistent. The virgin birth is only the beginning of the God-man, Jesus. Theologians call this the hypostatic union. All right, I don't ask you very many times to respond, but let's say that phrase together. The what? Hypostatic union. There, now you're a theologian. Get your master's degree certificate out there in the foyer. What it means is the combination of divine and human natures in the single person of Christ. Jesus is fully, truly God. He's not 86% God and 14% human. He is fully and truly God, and he is what? Fully, truly human, man. So for a minute, consider the genetic and biological implications of this. I'm getting some help from two scholars and pastors, Sam Storms and Wayne Grudem. Wayne Grudem wrote a systematic theology that is very, very good. The biblical record is that Jesus was a male. He was circumcised at 8 days old, Luke 2:21. Over and over, his being a man, a male, is referenced. But the biblical record was that he did not have a biological father. The reasonable question is, how was he truly a male human without a biological father? Today, we know that maleness is determined by receiving a Y chromosome from the father. So with Jesus, where did it come from? Either he got it directly from his biological father, either Joseph or someone else, or God provided it through a miraculous and providential act. If God had created Jesus, a complete human being in heaven, and sent him to earth apart from any human parent, dear people, it would be really difficult to see how he could truly be man. And the book of Hebrews says that he sympathizes with our what? Weaknesses. He sympathizes with us because he truly was human from conception until now. So if God had created Jesus a complete human being in heaven and sent him to earth apart from any human parent, it would be difficult for us to see how he could truly be a man. If God had sent his son into the world through both a human father and mother, it is difficult to see how he could be truly God. Rather, and this is a quote from Grudem, God in his wisdom ordained a combination of human and divine influence in the birth of Christ so that his full humanity would be evident to us from the fact of his ordinary human birth from a human mother, and his full deity would be evident from the fact of his conception in Mary's womb by the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. So this portion of the how, we can't get around it. The Christian religion, the Christian belief system, is rooted in the belief in the biblical record Jesus is the eternal Son of God who became a man without ceasing to be God. That is the biblical record. Let's talk for a minute about the why of the virgin birth and how it is utterly unique. So we're going to have to dabble a little bit in what has been commonly held as to why the virgin birth. In the Bible, we won't turn there, but in Romans chapter 5, we are told that through one man, sin entered the world, and death spread to all men because all sinned. And the way that is worded by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, we have to scratch our heads a bit. But through one man, sin entered the world. Who's that, class? Adam, right? And death spread to all men. Yeah, we all, it's appointed unto man once to die. We see that. Because all sinned. Well, do infants die in the womb because they lied? Because they stole? Because they murdered? No, we can't say that. Folks, what Paul is saying, and the wording is unique there, he is saying that we inherited the sin nature from Adam. He was our head, and when he sinned, we sinned. All right? And so, over the course of the history of the church, some have come to believe that the sin nature is passed on through the seed of the male. And that's why Jesus, there was no man involved. Because in the sperm of man is the nature, the sin nature. So therefore the virgin birth or the conception was necessary to bypass the male so that the humanity of Jesus would not be corrupted from the taint of inherited sin. People who have held this through church history, Augustine, you've probably heard of St. Augustine, Thomas Aquinas, Martin Luther held this. The problem with that view is as follows. Why would Jesus not have inherited corruption of nature from Mary? See the issue? What about her parents? What about her father? Follow the issue? So if the sin nature is passed on via the father, that would have meant Mary would have had the sin nature. If Jesus were fully human, he would have had to get that real humanity from his mother. The Roman Catholic Church's position, and possibly others, is that Mary herself was immaculately conceived. So let me stop right there. Have you ever heard the phrase immaculate conception? That's not talking about Jesus' conception. It's talking about Mary's conception. So the Roman Catholic Church's position is that Mary herself was immaculately conceived, so she too was free of a sin nature. Therefore, between her purity and the Holy Spirit, a perfect human was conceived. Of course, the Roman Catholic Church also holds to her perpetual virginity. After Christ's birth, she remained a virgin. But the problem with Mary's immaculate conception is it goes beyond Scripture. And it bypasses what Luke explicitly states as the reason for Christ's holy state, his holy human state. Luke tells us, chapter 1, verse 35, the angel answered and said to Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." That little phrase, "the Holy Child," literally is "the Holy Thing Begotten." Well, that doesn't sound very nice, does it? But folks, Luke is intentionally using language to describe what was revealed to Mary. This is utterly unique, and it has nothing to do with your uniqueness, Mary. It only has to do with what? The power of the Holy Spirit. So the problem with Mary's immaculate conception is it goes beyond Scripture and bypasses what is explicitly stated here. Luke tells us that it is because the Holy Spirit is responsible for Christ's conception that the child in Mary's womb is to be called holy, only because of the Holy Spirit and his power and work. So there is no biblical basis to argue that the sin nature is passed on exclusively through the Father. Sorry, moms. The sin nature, we can't argue that the sin nature is passed on exclusively through the Father. And that's the primary reason for the virgin conception of Jesus. No, Mary was a sinner. She too was a child of Adam. And she too bore his nature. Was she highly favored to be chosen by God? Yes. To the best of our knowledge, was she a godly young woman? As best as we know, yes. We have no reason to think otherwise. But dear people, she did not have a perfect human nature. So, why? Why the virgin birth? I do not believe it was to bypass the seed of the man. I believe that was necessary, but I do not believe it was because it was in the seed of the man that the sin nature is passed on. Rather, folks, the reason for the virgin conception was so that God could get the glory and credit, and he alone. The reason for the virgin birth or the virgin conception was so that only God could get the glory and credit in the salvation of sinners. God, in the second person of the Trinity, taking on humanity to save sinners, was entirely of his initiative and entirely of his doing. That Christ, though fully human, was without sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21, Acts 3:14, Hebrews 4:15, Hebrews 7:26, that Christ, though fully human, was without sin, is wholly or entirely due to God's plan and action and power of the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary. The virgin conception is one more stunning piece in the man-humbling, God-exalting means of how God saves sinners. It is all by his doing. The virgin conception is not by any human act or human initiative by which salvation comes to us. It is divinely initiated. Dear people, man does nothing. Mary did nothing other than, after being informed of what the Holy Spirit was doing in her womb, Mary did nothing other than to submit to what God would do. Okay, God, may it be so. May it be so. Joseph did nothing. God did it all. It is part of the what we call the triune work of God in salvation. And this is from Ephesians 1, roughly verses 4 through 13. We won't turn there, but there are other texts. I'll reference them in just a minute. From before the beginning of time, God the Father decreed and planned this means of salvation. From before the foundation of the world. God the Son, who was eternally with God the Father prior to anything created being in existence. God the Son, in that infinite, eternal, timeless relationship between the Father and the Son, agreed to submit to the Father when his plan would take course. And so he humbles himself. This is Philippians chapter 2. Though he was equal with God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but what? Emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant. He takes on humanity. He condescended in that sense. So God the Father decrees, plans, and sends. God the Son submits, comes, and is delivered up on a cross, supplying the perfect substitutionary sacrifice by which God can forgive and redeem sinners. And finally, God the Holy Spirit worked in the womb of Mary, but in the lives of sinners, God the Holy Spirit convicts, quickens, and applies the truth of the gospel to those who are being saved. To people, if you are here this morning and you are going, I'm saved. I know that if I died right now, I will stand faultless and blameless and with great joy before the holy God of the universe. Can you say that? Are you thinking that way? Can you think that way? Can that be a joy to you, a peace to you? If I died right now, I'd be in God's presence and I'd be welcomed there. And I would enjoy it. If you can say that, and that is what the gospel is, the end result of the gospel of Jesus Christ is what? It brings us to God. It brings us to God. Right now, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Can you say that? Well, if you can, the reason you are trusting in Christ, and the reason, if you're aware of sinful thoughts, sinful attitudes, sinful actions, you're acknowledging them before God. Folks, if you're trusting and seeking to obey Christ right now, the reason is all glory, all credit goes to the triune God. God the Father, from before the foundation of the world, chose you. God the Son came 2,000 years ago and died on the cross in your place. And God the Holy Spirit, through the preaching and teaching of the word and hearing of the gospel worked in your heart and mind to believe this. To believe this. So I close with this. Just as the incarnation, the birth of Jesus, was wholly of God, it was Mary's womb in which this supernatural work occurred and brought forth a real human being, yet without sin, so that he could be the perfect sacrifice in our place. Just as that was all of God, so too we give glory to God. Let me read you this from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 and 31. By his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, so that, just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Okay, Lord, you have done this in my heart and mind, and I am trusting in that utterly unique God-man, Jesus the Christ, because of the gospel of his death, burial, and resurrection in my place. Would you bow with me, please? Father in heaven, in our secular world that we can't get around, we have been saturated with in our education and all the ways of our world today, we can't get around it. This is so strange. This is so odd. And yet, this is what we stake our joy on. This is what we stake our peace on. This is what we stake any concept of forgiveness on. And this is what we stake hope for the future on. The same Jesus who was born in the womb of Mary, conceived of the Holy Spirit 2,000 years ago, from his conception to his death, was without sin in his humanity. And in his death, there was a transaction going on by which he was receiving into himself the full measure of punishment due sinners. And the proof you accepted what he was receiving into himself, the proof that you accepted him as a substitute, was on the third day he was raised from the dead. And 40 days later, the proof that he has now all authority in heaven and on earth is he ascended into the heavens and sat down at your right hand. And the promise and the declaration is that he is calling all men everywhere to repent and place their faith and trust in him. Because God has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness in Christ's return. Father, this is Christianity. This is what we believe. This is why we call ourselves Christians. And so, while this may have been a Christian 101 sermon, how we can boast in the Lord because of it. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.